This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, how to put this lady off?
Okay, cool. Can you hear me?
Damn, she's loud. Who is that?
It's the queen.
Of what?
B. I don't know.
Like the queen and when you in a pack of cards or something?
No. There's four of them. There's only one of her.
Oh, hey, oh. Goodness. Ryan, you know what's nice? You said, hey, guys, I'm back. I'm so excited to be back. And like I said to Eric, wasn't Ryan here last week? And he's like, no, he was actually away. Where were you?
I was working. Dave. We had a big event at work on the Friday.
What is a big event at work?
Well, I say a big event, but it's we have like internal parties because it's an agency, so we're big on culture.
So someone will have like a good client or something, and then they'll celebrate it.
Oh, no, it's a once-a-month thing. I put together Big Jolly. It was Hawaiian-themed. And I
Hawaiian
themed.
Oh, not Hawaiian.
No, there is wine. But
so did you have like lava and volcanoes?
No,
and shit?
That would be crazy. No, we had a tiki bar, cocktails, and I made delicious food actually.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's your job.
Yeah, that's part of my job to make jewels.
To make snacks and.
Yeah, this was this was pulled pork, roast potatoes, pineapple salsa. This was a lot of work.
Did you cook it?
Yeah.
Well done, man.
Yeah.
Because this is what I'm thinking, like. This comedy thing. Which is are you better at? Making pulled pork and pineapple salsa or at punchline?
At the moment? Shit, I made a great pineapple salsa.
And then also like to hear, just to make everyone feel better about their week.
Yeah.
Hello, by the way. This is the Just Now Comedy Podcast.
We actually skipped our whole trademark start, Dave.
Eric's not here. Eric's depressed.
Is Eric not coming in?
You know, depressed Eric, it was actually a show.
Oh, no, I didn't.
He used to get this vein on the top of his head and he used to die.
I don't think Eric has veins in his head. He's got a lot of head. A lot of head, very little veins.
Okay, well, I'll tell you later what happened. Last night was the Comedy Central roast battle.
Yeah.
And it was ruthless.
Oh, yeah?
It was the first one, so there were a lot of teething problems. They started a bit late.
But like technical difficulties.
Yeah, and I think the audience got a little bit itchy, but it was ruthless. I think from last year to this year, it's upped completely. Yeah, there's no more... It's very organized, it's very slick, it's based on that sort of American way of doing the roast battles. Comedians come on, fire away at each other, and deep.
And how was the level? Did it pick up from last year? I mean, because I watched you on TV last year, and I mean, it was brutal, but
was it?
Did they up it?
No, what they did now is they've kind of got a very strict system of you write your jokes, you send them in. Obviously, you can improv on the night if something happens, but they do want approval of your... Because that's what happens in America.
Yeah.
When... John Fisman told me a story last night. He went to Montreal.
Yeah.
First time. And they said, please give us your set. So he said, what do you mean? Like, no, sometimes I riff off the crowd and I do stuff. They said, no, we want word for word what you're going to say. Or else you're not coming on to our gala. And
cause I don't know if it's like that at all. I don't know.
It was the original funny
laugh comedy
fest. Yeah. So and that's very interesting for young comedians. Like, write your stuff down. For me personally, the writing of the comedy was very difficult. To sit there with a blank page and go, talk about this guy.
Yeah.
And in a bad way, that's entertaining to the crowd.
Yeah.
That they can understand the joke and go, okay, I get it. Because you can go deep and say, you wear plaid shirts and you chow steroids. And everyone's going to go, but really? Does he?
Yeah.
They don't know.
But, and also, you don't know the guy. I mean, you kind of know me.
No, I don't know Timmy.
So.
Well, that's the thing. Last night at the roast battle, Comedy Central roast battle. So, John Christmas is the roast master.
Yeah.
And he's just naturally. Scathing and
yeah, he is. It's just acidic. His persona, yeah.
And then because we're not him, it's quite interesting. He just can do it, and he just keeps going.
Yeah, but then also something referee, he's practiced for years and years. Yeah, that's his thing.
That's his thing. And then the other one was shame. Yeah, Eric overslept. The other thing is the way it's organized. So they got Lisa Madinga as the ref.
Yeah.
Last time they had, here's what was weird. They had on the panel, they had two radio DJs.
Yes, it was Nelly, I think,
Maybe Nelly. Aaron Simpson was on.
Yeah.
Fresh was
on.
Oh,
yes.
And then they had these twins on decks playing the DJ. And I think what they did there was made the mistake of going, what are people going to watch on TV? They'll watch Darren Simpson. Let's get him. Get Fresh.
Yeah.
And I don't think it worked because they didn't get the comedy. So
yeah,
often
the
roasts were great. And then they'd look at the crowd who booed the comedian. Of course, you're going to get booed in a roast.
Yeah.
But that's good roasting.
Yeah.
You can get the crowd to go, ooh.
Yeah.
Then you've roasted. It's got nothing to do. So it was nice to have comedians up there. Kahisa was there, Tumi and John were the judges.
Okay.
Lisa Madinga was the ref. It's not that you need a ref, but it is nice to have a comedian in between to keep the crowd going.
Yeah.
Now what happened was last time they had Ayanda MVP, who was who's from
TV or something. No, she's not a comedian.
I felt 94. But to have a radio DJ, she literally just read a script.
Yeah, you need an MC.
Literally.
Yeah. Like, literally.
She read the script. What Lisa saw, that things were going, the crowd was a bit dipping. They were getting it. So he does these little bit of comedy sets, which is magical.
What you need, yeah.
So it was slick and it was quick, and I think people are going to enjoy watching it.
Do you know when it's out?
They don't see, it'll come out soon. I think it's the end of July.
Okay, cool.
But then, because they've got the finals, they've got another round tonight. Another round on Saturday. And the finals on Sunday. So they're filming it all in 1 week. Live edits done.
Okay, so you're there for at least the next two nights. And
I didn't want to be there for the next two nights.
Oh, yes, because it's round for round. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw the thing. So we had eight comedians last night, down to four that go through. Then tonight's another eight, and four will go through to Saturday.
Okay.
So that's eight on Saturday, and then a winner. Out of those, they'll have a full final again.
And do you know who you're battling
tonight?
It's
a lucky prize, though. You get to go to, go to the States, and you end up either in a roast battle there, or you can watch a few and you get hosted by Comedy Central. So it's a great prize.
Oh, okay. That is a great prize.
For the guys.
Yeah. And do you know who you're roasting tonight? Are you up against?
No, I'm up against Saturday against Mojack. But it's not my struggle, man.
Mojack's going to be good. Just having him
here. He works the crowd. Oh, here last time.
Yeah, when he was here. And also he does like a lot of, like you were saying, kind of burns. He hosts Kitcheners and a lot of that is burning people consistently. So
he said that. He said that he had a dark past in terms of school.
Yeah.
And he was well known as that kid. And he put that aside. So it's quite weird. We got deep, eh?
Yeah.
Get out of that groove and you've had it.
So we spoke to him like afterwards because him and Eric were up. And it was quite dark because Mojack went personality and Eric played by the rules, which is do your roast, wait for the other guy, do the roast. And Mojack was owning it.
Oh, shit.
Eric couldn't get a word in. So if Eric's roasts were good, because he busted him on a few things, kind of at the end he lifted it up. But it was the Mojack show.
Shit, so you got... So Mojack took that round.
Yeah, so Eric was down.
Our boy Eric's out.
The podcast didn't represent very well. Are you going to come and watch at least?
Yeah, I'll come watch.
On Saturday?
Yeah, let's come watch on Saturday.
Okay, cool. Support us, man.
Yeah, let's check
it out. So Mojack said he hid away that past where he was a kid that was mean at school. Because he ended up becoming not a cool kid to hang around with.
Yeah.
And then he sort of he delved into that in this last few weeks, going, shit, I can do this. I'm not a nice person.
Speaking of Eric, I saw him last week. I don't know if he spoke about it on the show, actually, but he at Poppy's last week, he tried one-liners. He was just like, okay, I'll try to be a one-liner comedian. I mean, jeez, with varying
like,
degrees.
That's like me and you going to Bitcoin.
He tried it, and that was okay. But I mean, it was his first time ever. They were kind of, you know, like compared
to... So one-liners, like those cheesy dad jokes? Or proper old-school... Stephen Wright one.
I would say, actually, I don't know much about that Stephen Wright guy, but yeah, probably more on the dad side. And you know,
you don't know Stephen Wright?
No.
Oh man, well, I'm gonna get.
Is there a big hole in my comedy knowledge?
There's a massive hole in your comedy knowledge. You don't know Stephen Wright.
What are your thoughts on the guys that just do solid like one-liners and then do
it's
like 45 minutes of that?
I know it's too much. Yeah.
It's intense.
Because you know what, your mind has to go to that place. So in a one-liner, is all fiction.
Yeah,
nothing's real. So Stephen Wright goes, I came home and I put my car keys in my house and started it up and took my house around the block. That's what he's
saying.
He didn't do that. So your mind's constantly having to create these images. You have to, like he says, my girlfriend's got poison ivy on the brain. So in order to scratch it, she has to think about sandpaper. So that's him.
Okay. Yeah,
so I wondered why frisbees get bigger as they come closer, and then it hit me.
But also, I mean, for the audience, for a long show of that, I don't know, it's quite fatiguing to constantly have. Well, for me personally, that constant like two lines punchline, it's too much. Like narrative, you know, especially if it's a long special.
I'm gonna give it to you. On this thing.
So this is Stephen Wright.
This is Stephen Wright. So it's education time.
Here's
the other thing in terms of education time. When I was watching last night, so the guy Toomey has got a following on YouTube and a massive following. So on the right side of the room there were actual fans. So what we've got to realize is that he's 23, regardless of his age, the guy in that platform of millennials is famous on his phone. And what happened was, and that's where the fuck up was last night, because he's famous on his phone, they came there to see him just be.
Yeah.
Just to be. Like a lot of people say, we've got tickets for X. And they don't really care about the comedy. You got tickets for Nick Rubinowitz? Yes, we've got tickets for Trevor Noah. They just want to have the tickets for the thing. So I could see that those people were into his YouTube-ness. And then as soon as he started doing stuff, and as soon as I dissed him, they were like, this doesn't happen on the YouTube clips.
He's the hero of that movie.
No, why is this man being so nasty to our hero?
Do you know what he does on his YouTube videos? Like, what
videos the whole time.
Does he sing songs?
He does. It's Vinak. Yeah. That's the other thing. When he spoke to me after, he said the Vinak comedy industry isn't just go in there and try and be funny in Vinak. People are now starting to separate. So there's a guy called Mashabela who's properly gone into that realm. You can't touch him. He's got products. He's got branding. He's got drinks that are in shops. Tops.
Oh wow!
He's got a gin and a type of beer. He's massive, and that's a lot of it started at the religious parts of it. So they do comedy at these massive the churches. So it's gospel comedy. So it's clean. There's no swearing, whatever. But
and big audiences every Sunday.
Self-service.
Stephen Wright, for you, Ryan.
So I went in and hired myself. So I get out of the bed, I figured I'd go for a walk. She said, how long are you going to be gone? I said, the whole time.
Why are you laughing at that?
When I was out in the middle of the desert, a UFO landed. 3 1-inch tall guys get out. They walked over to me. I said, are you really 1 inch tall? They said, no, we're really very far away.
Why are you laughing?
I like it because it's stupid. But I know this guy's voice. I know him. I remember the day the candle shop burned down.
Everybody just stood around and sang happy birthday.
Benzia, thank God you saved us. But this whole one-liner thing, your mind has to be constantly switched on because the candle shop didn't burn down.
Yeah.
I went past the place last night. I went to fetch my stencils for my beer, and next to me was the candle shop. So I thought of taking my phone out and doing like a video of 50 Cent. I was like, I'll take you to the candle shop. But then I don't know the song that well to do it. But this is what's happening on YouTube is that people aren't filtering it. So I'm old school. I still filter the joke. I'll still go, that's not going to work, so I won't do it. But these younger,
just do 20, it,
they're just
taking
it on, do it, stick it on YouTube and see who likes it. They've got no fear. Also, no standards and no hassles with people. Like, I would not, I'm thinking I'm going to sing, take it to the candle shop. That's all I've got. Then I'll walk away.
So you think that's not enough, and they're just like,
that's brilliant.
Enough.
And then they'll use words like, that's blazing. Like, no, it's not blazing. It's the candle shop. Ben Kaprinsky, the owner of the Follow the Bounce brand.
Yeah.
Let me put you on. Sorry.
The microphone. I'm standing here.
Oh, man. There you are, man.
I heard you guys telling jokes.
No, we're not telling jokes.
I've got a joke.
Oh, thank you. Thank God. You know what happened? To be honest with you, the reason why Ben comes in here, he knows, he can see the fear in our eyes when our guests don't arrive.
Yeah.
We had these guys called the Day Zero Tour. They're from Cape Town, so it's Yasin Barnes.
Oh, he's funny. I like him.
Carl Weber.
Don't know him.
Okay. What the hell was that? Carl Weber, Yasin Barnes, Carl Weber, Dalen Oliver. KG,
yeah.
KG,
are we clutching his KG.
So they were going to come through, and then they said, no, we've got the writers' meeting for the roast. That's how serious they take their fucking roast. 9 o'clock in the morning, they are writing.
Okay, well, I came in here to open a window because it smelled like a small boy's change room in here.
But that's from us.
Well,
it's hot as
Gareth,
well.
Gareth and I and my buddy, we did the show before. It doesn't smell like that. But I got a joke for you.
Okay, go.
Okay.
So a 3-year-old boy is in the bathtub. He looks
like Casper De Vries.
A 3-year-old boy is in a bathtub. He looks down and grabs his balls and says, Mommy, are these my brains? And she says, not yet.
Oh, they will be.
Moms always take the fun out of the joke, eh?
Yeah.
Because I grab my balls all the time and ask random people, are these my brains? And my neighbors have started writing to the Body Corporate now. You know how hard it is to get your balls out of the top window? Unless the shower's really hot. Thanks, Ben. We appreciate your help.
Ben.
Can I put his mic off now? Was that mine? That was easy. All right. So Eric said he overslept, and the other thing was talking about comedy business afterwards, because obviously we don't get comedians together that often.
Yeah.
So backstage was Loisa Madinga, Kahisa Lidia, John Fismas is there. There's new guys just watching and trying to get information.
Yeah, I mean, those are like the top.
But I would rather have the older guys talking to the young guys, going, teach me this YouTube shit. Show me how you have no filter and no fear to go and make a joke and just see, well, let's see who likes it.
Mm.
He's got proper fans. Have you got fans, Ryan?
Maybe. Yeah, I do, I'm sure. I mean, family members. I call them family. We're so close, I call them family.
Steven's saying.
Plane through the terminal. And the wings are knocking people over.
And then I almost broke both my arms trying to hold open a revolving door for a woman.
See, now that would be considered.
And I headed for the highway and began.
That's considered misogynistic, holding open a door for a woman. That you don't do that anymore.
What year is this? Is this like
fairly
90s?
It's a whole
90s,
lot of
hey?
Stuff. This is early 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got 2.5 million views. So that one line of think people dig it. But I don't like my mind has to play so much stuff to understand one-liners.
Also, to remember it on a very practical level, you've got to remember 100 jokes?
Yeah, but he goes in a theme. You can see he moves from, he builds a house in his mind. It's the same thing I did with the roast. I went from his head down to his toes, and I put each joke on a body part.
Oh, okay.
So he might not have noticed that. I was looking at
it. Okay. So there was a blueprint.
The tips for roasting. So I would love to have Mojack here and actually have Eric here just to talk us through the stuff. Because I don't understand where roasting fits into comedy because it's not stand-up.
Yeah.
It's definitely not stand-up.
Do you watch the roasts, those big Comedy Central ones, Justin Bieber, the Charlie Sheen?
You remember, those are massive, 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 massive famous people. Yeah. So it's on a different level. We're talking about roasting. John gets a few people up from the audience and he says, come up here. So he gets 4 people, and then he'll rip them off about the basic stuff, which is what they're wearing, because he doesn't know them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's cool, because it takes that down this guard of people. Because people think they're so cool and dressed up nice to come around, and he just rips them off.
Just burns them off.
Remember those roasts of Justin Bieber and the massive stars? We don't have that here.
Yeah.
They try to do the cherry. Some easy. Gareth Cliff's been asked 100 times to be roasted. Who we got? Steve Hoffman.
Did you watch the Some Easy one? Did you watch the Kurt Darren?
See, the problem is I don't have TV.
Illegal download?
Nothing. I'm like probably media. I'm media
free.
Media none. I don't have media.
So that's why you're not uploading to YouTube all the time. Don't even have a TV. Haven't gotten on the ground zero, Dave.
I don't have the things. I don't have the things. Then there's another thing. There's a website that's come out now. It's called Roast Me. But you put a picture of yourself, and it's at Roast Me. But they've got a panel that they've chosen, so it's like it's all legally done. If you put the thing up there, and then these guys, but they're hilarious. So it's basically a meme, because a guy will say Roast Me because he straight away he's cut his hair really badly. And what I've realized now, as a comedian, is roasting is a caricature of comedy.
Okay.
It doesn't exist as a concept. Make people laugh. How you doing? Comfortable. Find a way to move their minds to a place.
Yeah.
Roasting is. You know caricatures on the beach.
Yeah.
You got big ears, they make the ears bigger. You make the eyes bigger. So a career, so all these little things, you got to make them bigger. That's what it is. It's caricature comedy. That's why some people are good at it, because they can spot your thing.
Yeah, but not necessarily then good comedians.
No.
No. No, so not at all.
This is Obama being roasted.
Obama being roasted?
Yeah, and he's got actual people behind him.
Correspondence dinner are important.
I mean, really? What is this dinner?
So that's his.
And why am I required to come to it?
Oh, no, that's.
No, these are the best roasts of all time. So I want people to get into it, just to see how rough it gets. So Justin Bieber's one was easy, because he's famous.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Hugh Hefner.
His balls are the least prickly thing on his body. How do you know when he does dust come out? Man, it's like probably a skeleton wrapped in wax paper.
And you went head first into Brigitte Nielsen's where they filmed The Descent, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I think that that Bob should join the Ku Klux Klan. And that's not because he's racist. It's just that he'd look a lot better with a hood over his head on account of his face.
Look at your girlfriend, so beautiful. When are you going to get serious? You know, one day you might want one of them changing diapers. I mean, if it gets too hard to do it yourself.
You have to.
Look at the smile on his face. He doesn't know where he is.
Sarah Silverman, also a rock.
Gilbert Godfrey is here. Gilbert, what is with the squinting? Stop looking for Jeff Ross's dick. You're never going to find it. John
Rivers.
I loved you in The Wrestler. Joel's vagina is so old, it has a separate entrance for black cocks.
So they're even bringing some apartheid vibes in there as well.
It is so brutal.
But now you see how rough that is. And you know what? And Joan Rivers just sits there laughing.
Yeah.
Because they know how it's working. It's a night of no holds barred.
Yeah.
So I had to find my mind in that. The guy that I was with was called Tumi Stop Nonsense.
Yeah.
Never heard of him. I had to go and look on YouTube. But he also, he had no limits. Anyway, so the business of comedy. This weekend is something called Comedy Con. Did you know about that?
Someone at the office said, I'm sending you this link about Comedy Con. And I mean,
I'm stuck in my earphones. This is a comedy conference.
And I didn't open the link, but is it a conference about comedy? I mean, it's all in the name.
You're going to have to take it. I'm going to fetch a bowl.
A bowl? I'll talk them through what Dave's randomly gone over and he's digging out of his bag now. Oh shit, he's got a gun. It's not that kind of podcast.
I don't think Eric's coming.
Eric isn't gonna make it. He got roasted so bad last night, had a terrible night's sleep, overslept.
And you know what, I want him to not think like that. There's gotta be a point in that roast where you learn something. You gotta go, I just became a better comedian.
I would take it too personally. I would. It would affect me.
Would you?
I would hate getting burnt. Anyway, so this comedic con.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to phone Kate Goliath because it was her idea and it's her thing. So I think we'll just phone her and then we'll have her on the line.
Okay. Straight from the horse's mouth.
Easy now. I don't think that's fair.
She's not a horse. It's 2018.
Yeah. I think she'll answer because this has been a while that, you know, this stuff doesn't really work.
Well, we're going to try.
Well, what happens is Kate Goliath came up with this thing to say the comedy industry needs to get together
and
talk to each other. Kate, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We chatted last night and we said we were going to talk, we were going to do a pre-record and then we were going to interview and you were going to come in.
Yes.
So now I said I'd phone you at 9:30.
Well, you didn't really give me a time.
Well, the show's on between 9 and 10. But it is good to hear your voice, and thanks for answering, because we have done this before where we've said we'd phone a comedian, and then we get this answer. And I'm not saying who, Jason Goliath, but he answers like this, oh, I didn't know you were going to phone so early. But can I tell you something that I noticed last night?
Yes.
You had people coming up to you, and they were hitting you with, where are the tickets and everything, and you were so calm. And so chilled and so congenial and nice. I have a fuck you valve, which is way too open. And yours was so closed. You were like, yes, don't worry. Come next door. I'll show you where the tickets are. Because people came to the roast battle and wanted to come to the, you had this day zero next door, hey?
Yes.
How was that, by the way?
So it was beautiful. It was a really, really beautiful, funny, funny, funny show.
Okay.
Those guys are all really talented. And David Carr also jumped on. That was fun.
Okay.
But yeah, so, I mean, I think that's just a PR gene, is to just stay calm.
Is that your background? Exactly. Okay. But well done.
Yeah.
And then just before we even talk about comedy, is it comedy conference? What do we call it?
Comedy Con 2018. South Africa.
Okay.
I like to give it a
It got longer. Hey, Kate, it's Ryan, by the way.
Ryan can hear you, by the way, so say nice things. Do you know Ryan Holiday?
Okay.
I spoke to Kate this week, actually.
I've never met Ryan Holiday, but I mean...
And now you've heard my voice.
Does he sound funny? Say something funny.
I'm not going to put you on the stage.
Don't try and get gigs during a telephonic interview with a PR person. You know what I mean? This part of the show, you're going to be serious now, so we've got to talk about things. What is the Goliath Comedy Experience?
The Goliath Comedy Experience is our Goliath Comedy Club's birthday party, basically. That is the basics of it. It started at just the launch of our
club,
and now it's become an annual event. This year is the third one. And yeah, it's a celebration of South African comedy. It's a celebration of our club. Of African audiences, most importantly, and to give them as many comics as we can in the shortest space of time possible.
And do you do everything at the club, or have you ventured into other venues? Because you've got 3 or 4 venues at Melrose that you can move around in.
Well, that's the beautiful
part. The box.
When we started at Melrose, we started Fire and Ice in the hotel. And when we did our first festival, we actually used Fire and Ice, we used African Pride, we used both venues.
I remember that. You guys used a lot of venues in there.
Yes. We had 5 shows running at the same time.
So you went big.
Yeah. But we've scaled it down slightly.
Okay.
And now we prefer to give audiences the experience that they should have at comedy clubs or at the Goliath Comedy Club. Okay. But this year we're doing it with the Roast Battle at the same time as well.
Okay, that's where maybe a bit of confusion with tickets. And then have you got a sponsor?
Yes, maybe. Well, Comedy Central is our media partner sponsor. Okay. Melrose Arch sort of helps us here and there.
Okay.
And Distel has been a friend of the brand for the
last
year.
That's true, because the Savannah kind of do run, they found comedy as their niche, and that's what they've done. It's very hard for any other brand to actually come in.
It's
they're
really
so scared,
hard, but brands are trying. Brands really are trying. I mean, Nando's and... That are trying as well, but Savannah's worked really hard for years and years and years to own the space, so kudos to them.
I agree. Now, the other thing, comedy conference. Because you sent me the mail and I looked at the schedule. So we started 9?
Yes, 9:30. I'm nice to comedians.
9:30? I'm telling you now, there's some guy's going to be late.
Eric Hansen.
Eric Hansen will be late. I'll tell you who's going to be late. Tall Esmo.
I don't think he's coming.
Yeah, because he's going to be that late.
He's going to be that late. I just know exactly who's going to be late. But now, you know what, what I find? Is this your initiative? Have you decided, hang on, the comedy industry is now getting to a point where we need to find a point where it needs to get professional?
You know, Dave, I think it's my initiative, but I think for a few years now, there's been a need for it. And there's always sort of these little caucuses at comedy shows where guys are talking about who's wronged them or who's righted them or who's done, you know, something crazy or, and it needs to come together. So there needs to be some sort of unity. Comedy is one of the best art forms, on earth, and it is also the best because of the brotherhood and sisterhood and family-ness of it all. And we don't treat each other often like family, but when we're together, we really are, and you put your differences aside and we laugh and laugh and laugh, and laughter is the best cure for anything. So
but that's exactly what I've noticed. Like at the box.
Together and to be serious.
At the box, if you take that area outside that quad around the back by the toilets.
Yeah, yeah.
At any given time, there's not only just, say now you've got your 8 or 9 acts in the show, but there's about 17 comedians back there, and they're all talking about what is corporates, who's done this.
Yes.
And then what happens is the corporates think we don't speak to each other. I can tell you who's working tomorrow night. And then they'll tell me, no, we got an inside guy, we didn't use a comedian this year. Like, no, shit, bullshit. You booked another comedian. Because we talk to each other, babe. So that means that you've now officially, so we can say in 10 years' time or something, we have a point of reference to start.
Yes. Okay, but the thing is, we're also not talking about the actual things we need to. So, yes, cool, you've got a corporate tomorrow.
Yeah.
But how is the corporate booked? What rate are you using? Why are you charging this rate? What is included in your rate? These are not things that we're discussing.
Yes.
So that's why there's still these standards that some people have really low standards, and when you tell them the comedian's rate, they're like, shoo, hey, was expecting to pay $500 for that, you know? And it's just like, how do you explain to people that it's
a job? Who have you got coming? Not on the. Let's talk about delegates that are going to be actual panels. Who's coming to sit in the chairs? Who have you invited?
An array of people. So I've got people from broadcasting and production, like Joanne Lurie, who used to produce for Nolene. I've got Dylan Kahn, the head of Comedy Central, Kahisa Ladiga, Donovan Goliath is on one panel. I've got a YouTube specialist coming in as well. I've got new ticket coming in as well to come in now, Howler, to come and chat to the guys about ticketing and how things work.
I would think is a day. just what
but
you said now, YouTube
so
filming
it
and
it will eventually
tickets.
Be 5 days. This conference will be a 5-day workshop where we take guys and we work with them, and you sit and you actually pay for the ticket to come and listen to speakers speak. But we need to start somewhere, and this is where we start.
And you say you've been working with Rabin, because I know Rabin's actually been invited to panels in Edinburgh and in Ireland, I think, and he's done this.
Yes, so when I put the word out that I wanted to start this thing, I mean, it was in the beginning of the year, and I just put a Facebook post out, and it got mad sort of support. Rabin messaged me and said, whatever you need, like, I'm just here. And he's been a great support in terms of just ideas and how things work at the other panels and conferences that he's done. So it's been great to have his sort of assistance on a knowledge side for this, and just working together and just, you know, coming up with ideas and little tiny nuances that we're adding
in
for tomorrow.
And then, so starting 9:30, ending at
4.
And it's on Saturday.
So there's lunch in between, yes.
Okay, so is it lunch at the Roast Cafe?
It's lunch at the Roast Cafe. Okay. And Ryan, you can come to the conference.
Come and meet Kate. Last question, Kate. What do you yes. For me, you know, we spoke about it last night. I said, I've got things to talk about. And you said, don't tell me now. Come and do it there. What are you expecting? And the second question is, what do you want to get out of this? Like, finally, when you sit on Sunday at night and you sit and talk to Rabin, what do you want to get out of it and what are you expecting?
I want people to get what I get, so that we're building brands and careers and an industry, and that it's not there for a rant session. We are not there to sort of call each other.
So you
want to
make that clear right from the beginning?
Problems.
We're not. Yeah, we're not here to do anything. As soon as you introspect this thing, it's a fuck.
And you'll see that. You'll see that. So there's touch points from the beginning, letting you know that this is not about your BS. This is about our business.
Yeah. Or if what you're going to do is set up a forum that if you do have a beef, what happens is it doesn't become a rumor. You actually say, I have a beef with Ryan.
Yes.
And then you say, well, you know what's nice? We've got a forum.
Yes.
Oh.
Put it on there. So that's what I want. And I just want
to
come
Ryan.
Together as well. You better not.
I want it to be chaos. I don't want it to descend into one of our discussions.
No, it will not be chaos. Okay. No, it won't be chaos. And I want guys to come seeking knowledge as well. I've put a lot of...
And you've got a lot of people there that know their stuff, man. You've got a fantastic panel.
But this is the thing. And why can't we just all get together and learn from each other and learn together?
Oh, man. I want to play We Are the World now.
We Are the World.
That's fantastic. Okay, thanks for being up early and talking to us for 6 minutes and 40 seconds.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much,
Kate.
It's a great
pleasure. Thank you for that extra 40 seconds.
I always give everyone an extra 40 seconds. Even if it's
More than any man.
If I just hold
Kate's them. Also funny.
But you know what, Kate, what
I
you
am
said
the
now.
Funniest Goliath.
Well, that's not hard.
The roast is happening right now.
Sorry, I'm still in roast mode. I'm still in roast. By the way, that roast was brutal. Anyway.
Did you get through to the semi final?
Yeah, but man, I'm scarred. I'm more scarred than Lisa Madonga's face.
They're stalling out.
I can't stop. Mommy, I can't stop. But listen, what made me want to be involved in this is not only that Kurt Schoonard's actually staying at my house, so I have to drop him off at the fucking thing. But we were in Clarence, and we were standing in a field. We may have had some substances, but it was amazing to just have 6 or 7 comedians plus 2 or 3 fans and then other organizers of the gigs in the field at 11 o'clock at night. And the discussions were so interesting because it was like, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You often see a guy. See, there's David Carr.
Drunk discussions.
No, they are. There must be sober discussions. You'll see David Carr and I say, how's Blacks Only? And you think he puts on the show and everyone comes and he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
And he said, Dave, you know what you have to do to book a venue like that and to make sure that thing goes out and to put 1,000 bums on seats? Who's doing that? Kirk Darren. No one's in comedy is doing what he's done for 12 years. So I think we need to up our praise of our guys. And when someone's doing well, you cannot drag them down.
Yes. Because they're working for your good. Like, that's it's for your benefit. If they're good, you are going to shine. They're going to want more comedy. So give them the best. Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for helping us out.
Bye.
Jeez.
When is this actual thing, though? When is the actual Comedy Con?
The Comedy Con's on Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah. I know it's wrong to do this, but that's how I felt.
Yeah.
I felt that the Comedy Con's coming. And then we're all going to just gather in the
And
thing.
It's going to be beautiful, and Ryan's going to get spots
and
somewhere.
And Mufasa's going to die.
That'll be a bummer.
Scar takes over with Lisa Madinga. So it's going to probably... And then we're going to announce the birth of a thing. And then Jabunga is going to... I don't know who...
And there'll be lots of singing and dancing. And there'll be 2 sequels. Oh, Timon and Pumbaa. I don't know who... They'll be there.
We know exactly who Timon and Pumbaa are. Pumbaa is Jason Goliath. Timon is like George Kuda.
Oh, he would be such a good Timon.
Okay, so we have people. Woody.
What's up, Woody?
A fan of Ryan. Only a fan of Ryan.
Awesome. Thanks, Woody.
Okay, thanks. So what I want Woody to say is, what does Ryan do again? And he doesn't even put a question mark. It's like a statement. What does Ryan do again?
What does he do?
What do you do, Ryan? Listen carefully. He makes the pineapple salsa at the functions at the company.
Yeah.
And you know what I like is that your company has created a job that doesn't exist in any other company.
Yeah, for me. Hashtag blessed. I think that's the term is
your
hashtag blessed.
Says, we need someone to just organize the fucking snacks in this office.
Who's the snack guy? Me. Cue me.
Okay, so creative-wise, you don't care about the bottom line, bottom.
I mean, there's budgets
over the line,
there's
under
budgets,
the line.
No, there's budgets to stick
to. But you know how much things cost. How much is a packet of flings? The big packet.
I don't have to buy big flings.
How much are Nick
things? Are bullshit.
The big, the party pack of Nick Nacks. No, how much is that?
Think
you got
you
a macro.
You're misunderstanding snacks. I made pulled pork for 80 people.
Did you pull it with your own hands?
No. Yes, I did. I mean, okay. Not just me, but.
Well, I'm not Jewish, but I think around about Ramadan, pulled pork is maybe not the best thing to have at office.
No, there's no non-pork.
You have to deal with. That's another thing. Do you deal with sensitive?
Oh my God, Dave. That's a you'll hit a nerve there.
Do you have people going like, I don't eat pulled pork? You're like, listen, Mr. Sanderson, Mr. Goldberg, yeah. It's pulled pork. What's wrong with it? No, like, so well, yeah, it's so a whole 7,000 years of religion that's against that thing.
No, there's always someone, Dave, you know this, there's always someone that, like, I made soup. It was a cold week, and I was like, I'm going to make soup for everyone. And
so
just,
what did you make?
And just not tell them.
Beef.
No, chicken noodle.
Okay, so you've offended some Chinese people.
Yeah, what's appropriation of noodle culture. Okay. And as soon as I arrived there, the first person that saw it is the onion in there. I'm like, yeah, there's onion. Oh. I don't think. The first, and it took hours.
It also, didn't that defeat you?
Yes, immediately. I was like, I'm so happy because I don't need.
Did you go to your happy place?
No, I went to a very dark place, Dave. I went to the opposite of.
So that person's actually dead now.
Yeah, to me.
Based on onions.
You know, so there's always someone that's like, oh, why isn't there this, why isn't there that? But I think the majority enjoy the free food. Which
can I just tell you what I found out about the studio? This mic that I'm on is called Presenter Mic.
And it should be, yeah.
Yeah, and your mic is called Mic 1.
Yes.
So I've been numbering it that way. So whenever a guest walks in, I put mic 5 on, and then they speak to nobody. I realize now that I'm presenter, and then it starts from the other end of the desk. How long has this been yet? 2 years. We've been doing this for 2 years, and I've just spotted that that's how this fucking thing works.
See what happens when we have no guests? We can focus
thing.
On the details.
But that's the thing. Like, you've got to be able to walk off stage and learn something. John Fisman said, give your business card at a corporate. You've died, you did well, whatever it is. Leave a business card with two people. And make a conversation with them, saying, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here. Maybe they didn't like me, or you like me, or whatever. Here's your thing. But always be doing something in this business. And that's why I'm actually keen on this comedy conference.
Okay.
Because we're actually finally going to get a business.
So you're definitely going, huh?
Definitely. Well, I have to drop Kurt Schoenaerts off. He's phoning me now. Like, he's at the airport. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Have you heard of Uber?
Yeah.
So I've got to get Kurt Schoenaerts to Comedy Con in a sober state.
Okay.
I've got to be in a sober state for my semifinals on Saturday.
No Dave Bruce.
And I've got to write.
No Dave Bruce.
No, I got
Dave.
Into trouble for having. I had Dave Bruce backstage, and you're not allowed to bring alcohol into a venue. It's against the laws of alcohol.
Of the world, yeah.
But you see, they don't understand that. I really don't care.
And also, your name's on the brew.
Brand,
your name is on
like
the brew.
I said, no, it's part of. It was part of my act, and it's part of my. Like
yeah,
a puppet.
Prop.
Like
yeah.
It's a prop.
Yeah.
They, what are they going to say?
It's an emotional companion.
Like, well, no, when Madonna was naked in Canada or something, and then they all went mad, she said, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. It was my nipple. Everyone's got nipples. And then one guy goes, I don't have nipples. And then the anti-nipple society got involved.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Last night I said that John Flismus's cock ring caused listeriosis.
There's no conclusive evidence that didn't. There's been no studies refuting that.
All right, so comedy news. Did you do Poppies?
Last week, but last night I went to Lloyd's gig at Full Stop.
No, well, Lloyd's gig. Let's talk it. Here's something else. And I want to. This is my. I can bring something to Comedy Con, and I only realized that now.
Yeah.
Graphic design.
The yes.
Lloyd's poster. It was red with black writing, which you couldn't see.
Yeah.
It was red and black on the same spectrum on things.
Okay.
They're the same intensity.
Yeah.
So, he used a lacquer typeface, and then he put no names of the comedians. He said, well, on DJ posters, they never put their names. I said, fuck DJs. We're comedians. Put the name of the comedian under his face. That's how you get known.
Yeah.
He said, no, but everyone knows...
Ryan Holiday, they know him. He's just a dude.
Bongani Dube was on.
Yeah.
I want Bongani Dube on here. That's another thing I want to talk about. He did the PSL Awards, which is the Premier League soccer in this country.
Yeah.
So he was the comedian. And he got slated in the Sunday Times. They said the comedian was out of touch. He was a fan. He was fangasming because he couldn't believe that he was standing next to these soccer guys. And I think for him, he also learned, like, don't go and do the PSL Awards because you're a soccer fan as a comedian. Because you're going to be in awe of every single guy that comes up there and gets an award. And he got chowed in the Sunday Times. They're like,
oh, for real. I'm actually going to Google that.
Hoompa Pops. Here's the other thing. We talk about business of comedy. Hoompa Pops was hired for the Sommers with two other presenters.
Yeah.
So they shared it.
Okay.
And one of the biggest critics was, what were the sketches about in between? Because you're relying on sound.
Okay.
In that big hall in the Super Bowl, whatever it's called. Where was the... It is. It's the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
Sun City. Do you not know about the Sommer Awards, Ryan?
No, I'm out of touch, Dave.
We're both out of touch, man. You're making snacks.
Oh, no, yeah.
You're making pork for the Jewish Guild.
Yeah, I'm offending the Jews with that.
But anyway, Oompa Pops did sketches in between the awards.
Yeah.
And they were written and they were well acted and everything. And some people just didn't get them. And yet some other people said Oompa Pops rocked the thing.
Yeah.
That's the other thing you learn. You're not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
Someone's going to not dig you when they walk into the room. Like there's a place that I go to that I used to drink at near my home there. And apparently I swore at a waiter. And now I'm not allowed there.
But maybe you were like, good fucking job tonight. No, yes, awesome.
I did not swear at the waiter. I don't do that.
I can't imagine you swear at waiters.
Tip an oak on your bill and then you swear at him. Like, no, if you're angry at the waiter, you don't put tip.
Yeah.
But that's how you get a waiter. You don't have to. I'm sorry, you're shit. So, but I've never. And now I'm being. So that's what I'm saying. Someone will not dig you if you walk into a room. That's just accept it. But I want to get. Bungani Dube.
You know
how was he?
Fire,
how was he at?
It was chaos. Because he was here when you weren't here.
Okay.
He.
But you think maybe, I can control him?
Maybe with your your learned
my age.
Yeah, I don't want to bring up age again because
we
brought up
last
night.
Yes, last night this guy roasted me. He said I was on a TV show called Going Nowhere Slowly, which is like my career. And then he said the only thing going fast in your career is your hairline. And I'm like,
Where did you say you went to earlier?
I went to Narnia.
No, Asgard.
Asgard.
What is that?
Asgard's like a place where you
word,
go and find... It's Thor's house.
Okay.
And when someone is nasty to me, I go to Asgard, and I fetch Thor's hammer, and I come back, and I fuck you up.
And
but
you did?
With words.
And
but
you
I had to go... You have to go there in a split second. You've got to go very quickly, run in, find the Thor's hammer, think of something quickly to say, and then come back. But in that time, you're in a haze. Because as soon as he said that, I'm like... He said, I'm overweight, I've done, and you start believing that shit. And that just shows how negative thoughts work.
Yeah, that's how I said I couldn't do it, Dave. I would be
would
too...
Would you cry?
I don't think I'd cry, but I'd take it deeply.
You're not allowed to hit the other person, by the way.
No, I'm not a fighter. I'll get fucked up. Whatever his name was, no nonsense.
Stop nonsense.
Stop nonsense.
I called him stop comedy. Fuck. All right.
Anyway, I was telling you about Lloyd's gig last night.
Yeah. So let's just paint the picture. Lloyd is a producer. Who wants to? He's so keen to do comedy. He'll do comedy in whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put that aside. Yeah.
Yeah. So he started this gig at Full Stop Cafe in Parktown North.
The kind of Parkhurst area. Yeah. Now this other one is at something else.
Daisy Ilovo. Dukes or something. I haven't been to that one yet.
Oh, you didn't go to Daisy Dukes?
No.
Okay, that's the one that I saw advertised in the Sunday Times.
So
he's got PR for these things, and he's very into open micers.
Yeah.
Like he wants them to be seen.
Well,
and
that's him for audience members.
But audience members are. They're keen to see new acts because that's where you spot new talent. But you've got to have a headliner close it and a strong host. And then in between that, every now and then an open mic will pop out and just be fantastic.
Yeah.
And a lot of open, what he relies on is the fact that if you've got 5 minutes of comedy, you're going to bring 7 or 8 of your friends.
Yeah.
So if 5 of you are on, there's an audience of 50.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
You don't have 8 friends.
Yeah.
So Woody wants to know what you do again. So I told him you are the...
Entertainment. Chief CEO, Chief Entertainment Officer.
Do you have minions? Do you have minions?
I am the minion. I'm the lowest.
You're the lowest
bottom
at the
ladder. I'm the bottom of the ladder, yeah.
What's it called again?
Clockwork
so
Media.
So you like the six on the clock.
That is the lowest, yeah.
No, well, on a digital clock, it's in the line.
Yeah, they're all really at the same height.
So there you go. Woody, will you never ask us that again, please?
Yeah.
Other than that, Ryan is a presenter on a podcast which goes out to the world.
Yeah.
The
universe even.
Possibly. It'd be so sad if the aliens heard this shit and be like, we love these guys. We love you, Ryan.
Maybe we save the human race. They're like, no, there's nothing here for us. The base is so low. There's nothing we
because
can get
of
from
us.
These people. Yeah, it was
thank God. So our low standards and bad shit is
save the planet.
Then that sounds like a stoner movie. Right. So we got more. Okay, Dave and Ryan, how's it? Since Dave doesn't have a TV, I'll ask Woody to watch The Wild Ones on Mnet on Sunday at 4 p.m. It's about the aquarium. So this is obviously Michelle.
Oh, Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
So she's just said, this is quite cool because Michelle still loves DSTV because they've been in this massive argument now with Netflix and the other one, Black, and the other one, Amazon.
Saucy Black.
Wow. So these new ways of watching television and doing things. So they've got to find a way to have subscribers pay for these things when you're getting it online. So they're in trouble.
No, they're screwed. And
expensive. Have you got DSTV?
Yeah, it's like $800.
But who pays for that? Are you still at home?
Yeah.
I see. Moms are cool.
Well, dads.
My kid said, Dad, why don't we have DSTV? I'm like, shut up and eat your sand. YouTube. We got fucking YouTube at home.
You don't have YouTube at home?
I am forced to. You know, people say, you're such a good dad, you play soccer with him. We're like, that's what we do.
Yeah, we play throw the stone.
He hates soccer.
We play watch cars drive by.
Watch the cars, we can count the trees. We played the other day. We played how many bricks are there in the driveway?
And people are like, "Oh, that's such progressive parenting in 2018."
No, but then there is the other theory, which is the school. What's it called? The Waldorf school, which is based on that guy saying television is a non-giving medium.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually give you anything because you're not producing anything.
So your brain's off.
So the other friend of mine, who's a film producer, said he spoke to this guy and he said millennial studies they've done of people taking out of the system. So the millennials are taking out of the system. They're going. Okay. They're consuming media. They're consuming things. But the producers of that media aren't millennials.
Okay.
So they're either below that, which is your 17, 18-year-olds. Yeah, they aren't millennials. They're the new generation, whatever the fuck they're called, the app generation.
I don't know what.
Yeah, they'll be. They grew up with apps.
Yeah.
Then these ones now that are in charge because they're in their 30s now.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are running the world. So we're still selling products to guys that are in their 40s, and no one's. They're dying. Yeah. They're dead. So he said he's taken his kid's iPhone and said, come, make a movie. You and your friend can write. You get some costumes. His girlfriend, whatever's got, she loves to dress up. He said, and I want to see a movie by the end of the week. Here's the app on the iPhone. Write the script. We're going to have a script meeting. His kid's 8. And he's taught him, put into the system. So it's quite weird. Like the TV watching is going to be a no.
You're going to get your kid to make a movie with your iPhone?
I've taught him he's got an iPhone. He's got the app. He may not make the movie, but he can direct. Which is quite weird. I've watched him when he plays with the other kids. He tells everyone what to do.
Okay. So well, then like, you go.
Boy.
I mean, that's... dial down the bossiness just a smidge.
Okay, so someone sent... there's a lot of stuff here. So catching up this morning with the show podcast part where, holy shit, Gord just made my day. So that is obviously from Gareth's show.
Yeah.
Some guy made someone's day from a podcast. We're not even at that level yet.
Yeah.
We're never making
someone's
hour.
I don't
think
we can change someone's day.
Okay, you know that thing where you send us what's wrong with you? And we were like that. You go to like they do it on the radio stations with someone and auntie what has
yeah,
got
like
a broken foot? No broken foot, and we'll get her a wheelchair, or someone's got has to have an operation. Okay. You send us what's wrong with you, and then we'll roast you.
Yeah, and then we won't give a shit about it. That's
fucking one-legged loser. You're not gonna make it. Okay. So anyway, so there's a pitch for Michelle wants you to watch The Wild Ones.
The Wild Ones.
It's about the aquarium. 4 p.m. on Sunday on Mnet. I don't know what channels, so you obviously have to go one of those search vibes.
Okay, that's cool. Michelle, I will watch it, and I will talk about it next Friday.
Okay, and then some people want to end the Gaza war, the apartheid, Palestinian-Israel apartheid,
yeah,
on our show.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, we're running out of time for that. Sorry. Next week.
Woody. So people do actually write into the show. Woody is being sarcastic because if he was a real fan of Ryan, he would know what he does.
Yeah.
So the guests who were supposed to come in, we're going to fuck with them now for the next 3 seconds.
Okay.
They were supposed to come in here. They're called Day Zero. Like that's the name of the show.
Yeah.
So it's a Day Zero tour. So 4 Capetonians have come to Joburg, obviously to shower, bath.
Yeah. Get hydrated.
Squirt water on each other, get water pistols, just fuck around. And it's KG, great comic. Dalen Oliver, he's got they've got their own podcast on a radio station. On Good Hope FM.
It's not as good as ours, though.
on Thursday at 11 or something.
Yeah.
And then,
that's a shit time. Friday, Carl, 9 o'clock.
Friday, 9 o'clock is the time to be. And then Carl Weber's on. And then, I don't know who the other one. Yassine Barnes. So it's a strong lineup.
Yeah.
And which was interesting last night to see who comes to see them from Joburg. So essentially, they're new acts to them.
Yeah.
So they're doing equivalent of open mic for that Joburg audience.
Mm.
And Jason actually says to me, see, you know what? It's Ramadan. Now.
Yeah.
That whole lineup, Carl, Dalen, KG, and Yassine, would have had an incredible Joburg-based Muslim stronghold.
Yeah, but now
they're
not
going to come out.
On the draw.
So it's just purely a timing thing. So he says the ticket sales weren't as high as for the other shows. So the other shows have been sold out, and theirs, they kind of had people coming past, and they eventually filled it. But that just shows you, like, you can be the funniest fucker in the world, and you don't have the stuff.
Which I could very well be.
You could. Maybe your problem is that all of your fans are doing something else.
Yeah. Always.
Even thinking about not being a fan. Who did you fan? Who would you, if you stood next to them, you would go, damn, I'm like, this is my guy. This is my human. This is, I love their stuff. Who's that? Who's your fan? Who are you a fan of?
I don't want to meet.
You go out of it.
I don't want to meet these people because they're never going to be who you, they can't possibly be who you think they
are. If you are a fan of mine, don't meet me. Yeah. I will disappoint you.
You will shatter everything.
That song, I will let you down.
I would like to shake their hands and then leave and not be disappointed by them.
Who?
But Ben Gibbard from a band called Death Cab for Cutie.
Okay, cool. But they were in South Africa. You know that.
No, it was another dude from the band. He didn't.
It was. They are coming here, though, because no. Martin Evans is filming their music video.
No.
I'm telling you now. They're coming to South Africa.
Well, that'd be crazy if
they're doing. I'll get you to meet. Do you want to meet them?
Yeah, I would lose.
What's his name? Gibbon.
Ben Gibbard.
Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
Cool band as well. I think we actually should maybe end off with a Death Cab for Cutie song, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's my favorite band. Oh, two of my tattoos are...
Two of my tattoos are the band. Yeah. You just unfolded stuff now. That's proper fan when you got the tattoo.
Yeah,
is it the album logo or something?
No, it's Soul Needs Body, a song, and then a lyric for a song.
Okay, but then didn't they also write for Postal Service as well?
He is Postal Service, another random dude. 10 years ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's cool that you know these bands that are obsessed about.
Yeah, okay, sorry, man. I know some stuff.
So, yeah, who would you want to meet?
Here's what happened. I was in my house one night, and my friend phoned me. He knew I was a U2 fan, which is quite weird now to be a fan of a band that people hate.
Yeah.
Because they tried to save the world and failed.
Bonner's just a douche.
So now he phones me from a bar in Long Street called, it's like an Irish bar. O'Malley's, yeah. O'Hagan's,
something.
Flanagan's, something. O'Donohue's. So he's, no wonder I couldn't find it. So it's half past 1 a.m. This is before cell phones. Phone's on a landline.
Shit.
Dave, I'm sitting next to a friend
of yours.
You
get a landline call at half past 1, that's bad news now.
Some shit's gone down.
This is Armageddon.
So he phones me, he says, I'm sitting next to a friend of yours. Do you want to say hello to him? So I'm like, fuck, Billy, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm not interested. I'm unemployed. I'm going to hate you. So he puts the phone on. So I talk to this idiot. And he says, hello, Dave. And he's chatting away to me. Why don't you come down? Like, we're drinking Guinness and you're a fucking idiot. And Billy's telling him Afrikaans words. So he's calling me a master puss and all this stuff. So I said, fuck you, Billy. I'm going to bed. So the next day, there's no Instagram. There's no Facebook. There's none of this shit.
Yeah.
He develops photographs on a camera of him sitting next to the edge. So
that's
to the edge on the phone and told him he's a cunt.
Oh, that's so dope. The Edge is cool. Bono is not
well, exactly.
cool.
Bono
the
wouldn't
cool.
go out in it. So it was The Edge and the drummer, Larry. Yeah. They were at the Irish place because they went dueling. So Bono goes and drives bicycles and does gym. And they went out and got fucked. So I spoke
that's a proper celebrity.
No, but I told him to go get fucked.
And a proper cool celebrity.
Please don't phone me. I'm in my underpants. I'm like, if I'd gone down to O'Malley Hagen's, Flanagan's,
or McGrady's, or
now you're getting there now. But I would have been disappointed, or it would have been like one of those things where like, you're a comedian, tell us a joke, and I'm like, because I've never got a joke when people tell me to do that.
The you don't have one locked and loaded, Dave. You
I have one,
as
but
the
it's
guy
rude.
That has one locked and loaded.
What I've done at an interview on the radio, and it was on one of those stations that no one listens to, kind of what we're doing, but she said, we're going to interview a comedian now, and then as I went to the break, I said, please don't tell me to tell a joke. It doesn't work on radio.
Yeah.
Like Ben's joke, it was cuck. Guy's playing with these balls, his mom says, this is my brain.
Yeah.
That's a reverse engineered joke. It doesn't work. Why would a 3-year-old kid say, this is my brain? Yeah. So that's a no. So she said, okay, I won't. And then as soon as they came back, she says, we've got a comedian in the studio, and he's told us we're not allowed to ask him to tell a joke. Come on, Dave, tell us a joke.
Oh,
so I'm like,
God.
Okay, what's the difference between jam and marmalade? So she goes, no, what is the difference between jam and marmalade?
No, this
and she's got her finger on the thing and she's ready to hit. So I said, you can't marmalade your dick into someone's ass. And she like, went like this.
Technical. Beep.
And I just went to an ass. And then she said, please don't ever do that again. Please don't do that.
No, I can't do it again. I've heard the joke now, so I've got others.
Okay,
I think, Dave, if someone ever asks me to do a joke, I'm going to do that one. That's a good one. Because people all the time, you're a comedian, to me a joke.
So have you got one locked and loaded?
No, I don't. That's my one now. Marmalade and jam.
No, you can't steal my one. I'm using that. Why did Saudi Arabians get oil and the Irish got potatoes? Irish had first choice. Okay, here's your death cap for Cutie. Listen, we're going to go now because I think the sex show is going to be a pre-recorded because I don't see John T here.
Yeah.
But listen, speaking about sex show, you guys have a fucking great weekend. And thanks to our guests, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting us down. The following people, Dalen Oliver, Carl Weber, KG, Yasin Barnes, they're all at a writer's meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. Bullshit. Comedians don't write at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. My name
is
Dave.
Cheers, everyone. I'm Ryan. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.